Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great Friday to you. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We head into the weekend. And not only that, you need to think ahead. We're heading into Thanksgiving week next week as well, which means you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. When I talk about stocking up, you know, you have to sit there and look at, okay, I want to make sure I have plenty on hand next week if people drop by, or if you're going someplace, you don't want to go empty-handed. So you want to go to Brewers Outlet and stock up on everything. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Oh, did I mention beer? Yes. They have the best selection without question. Soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day, fresh and hot. Okay? Mentioned soft drinks, snacks, and, of course, the pickle bar, second to none. You know, coming up next week, I'll be there for the Bucknell game on Friday. And I can tell you right now, I shall be stopping at Brewers Outlet. I need to pick up my fair share of beverages and also barrel pickles to get me through the rest of the weekend as well. That is at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, vehicle exchange day today. I'll tell you more about that in just a bit. All right, big weekend coming up tonight. Selins Grove in action. Selins Grove takes on Somerset tonight. Eagle 107. Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt, Kevin Herr with the call tonight from Richland High School in Johnstown. So if you can't make it there, you keep it on Eagle 107. They'll have it for you. Eagle 107 tomorrow also has Bucknell football and basketball. Big game for Bucknell tomorrow when they return to action and take on Colgate at Christie tomorrow. And your ticket to that game, when you buy it, will then also get you in. Just show the same ticket at Soika tomorrow night when they take on Mount St. Mary's. So it's a football-basketball doubleheader. You can hear them both on the Eagle 107 when Doug Birdsong is having his the double tomorrow for him. Interesting. It's always fun to do those. I've done that many times in my career. So, Doug, I know what you're doing. Okay, we've walked the same path before. And also, coming up, Penn State football tomorrow at Illinois. We're going to talk to Mark Brennan here in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few moments from Fight on State. About Penn State and Illinois coming up tomorrow at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. 10:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. So it's a big weekend of sports coming up in our area and in our Sunbury broadcasting family of stations. All right. Coming up on the show today, next half hour, Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. In the 4 o'clock half hour, Mike Lang, the Hall of Fame play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, will join us. Final half hour, we're going to have Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated. We'll talk to Tim not just about football, but also about recruiting. And Tim is going to be covering wrestling this weekend. He'll be going to Pittsburgh for the wrestling dual meets down there. So we'll be talking Penn State wrestling in the final half hour with him. But here in the Sunbury Motors studio, we bring in old friend Mark Brennan from Fight on State. Mark, it is great to have you here. And, you know, you always, at this time of the year, you always want to ask the question, in November, is a team playing its best football, which indicates, you know, player improvement, coaching, things like that. So do you think they are?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the fact that you get two of your better offensive linemen back, I mean, Donovan Smith was playing most of the year, missed, what, a game and a half or where a game and a little bit more than that. You know, to me, this team, the whole year, the defense has played exceptionally well. I mean, even in that Northwestern game, everybody says, well, outside of Northwestern, they played pretty well, too. The offense kind of teed up Northwestern for a couple of easy scores in that game. So, right. You know, my thought all along is that with the struggling running game, if they could get the special teams to play at least kind of even Steven and not hurt you the way the punting game was, that they were going to have a chance to win just about every game. And now that the punting game's coming along and the running game's coming along, I think that gives them a good shot here going down the stretch. Now, do I think they're going to beat Michigan State? No. I mean, they'll be an underdog, and they should be an underdog. But I think with that defense, if you can just not turn the ball over and get solid special teams play, get the Pascarello doing a good job punting, I think it puts you there with a chance to do some things. And, you know, as I look at these last couple games, you know, who knows how the bowl situation is going to play out, because it's kind of the first year that the Big Ten is going to be sort of dictating, well, overtly dictating. I'm sure they were in the past, but my point being...
Yeah, but they're creating matchups.
Right, but my point being, I don't know how much a win over Illinois would change Penn State's bowl fate. I think they would have to really win two games to really get a shot at going to one of those Florida bowls, most likely the Tax Slayer, the Gator Bowl. So, you know, what is left to play for now? Well, you know, I think the fact that you can potentially improve your standing, but also finishing this season strong, realizing that when the sanctions hit 2 years ago, and I've said this over and over and over again, and now that they're bowl eligible, but when the sanctions hit 2 years ago, if you would have asked any Penn State fan, toward the end of the 2014 season, that your team is bowl eligible and going to be in a bowl, would you take that? Everybody would have raised their hand and said, Yes. You know what? So I think as we look at this season, one of the key words for me all along, and I said it before the season, has been perspective. Get upset when they lose if you're a fan. You know, get upset when somebody makes a bad play. But I think if everybody, after these things happen, takes a step back and realizes what might have been, I think everybody ought to be pretty happy where this program is right now.
You brought up something interesting in the course of that answer, Mark. You said, you know, what do they have to play for in the final two games? Because they have been in that position for 2 years
right.
and handled it, does that, again, in perspective, bring it something different to the table because of the mentality they've had to play with?
Well, I think that's what we have to wait and see. And I know that's a cop-out in answering your question, but, you know, one of the things to me, one of the reasons I think they were able to beat Wisconsin, especially last year when they were, what, a 20-point underdog. I mean, nobody outside of the program really thought they had much of a chance. But that was their bowl game. And the same thing 2 years ago, where it wasn't quite the upset, but it was still, you know, senior day, they're honoring Mike Motti, all those different things.
Right.
So that's what I'm anxious to see these last couple games. Are they viewing bowl eligibility as some sort of plateau? And I don't think we're going to know that until we see, you know, how they come out. Now, you know, one of the tricky things about Saturday's game, 11 a.m. local kick.
Yes.
Probably going to be, what, 25,000 fans in the seats. So,
senior day.
Yeah. I guess they're kind of used to playing before, you know, they were out in Indiana a couple weeks ago, so they're used to playing before crappy crowds. So, you know, what sort of motivation is there going to be? Now, you know, being the rabble-rouser that I could be, I was asking some of the players, some of the upperclassmen, if there's any lingering effects of Beckman Gate a couple years ago, and obviously they're smart enough not to bite on that, Steve. You know that.
Right.
But you never know. But I would have to imagine there's still a little something, especially with these seniors kind of in the back of their mind, that rubbed them kind of the wrong way, and we'll see if that provides any a little extra motivation that maybe you need on 11 a.m. on a Saturday out in Champaign.
Exactly. We've seen the running game find a little bit of a gear. Look, when they were sitting down to put the plans together for the season back in March, I'm sure that the cornerstones of the offensive line were going to be Donovan Smith and Miles Diefenbach.
Yeah.
On the second series of the Temple game was the first time all season they actually played together. Did you see a discernible difference, even though we know, you know, he's knocking a little bit of rust off?
No, absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that they had their best rushing game, to me, I mean, against a legit opponent. I mean, they had more yards than they did against UMass anyway,
sure,
so it was
right.
their best rushing game.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing I liked about that game, Steve, was, to me, that was the first game where I thought you could look at Christian Hackenberg and say he just wasn't on, and you couldn't really blame it on the pressure. You couldn't blame it on anything else. I thought he had a bad game. Mm-hmm. But what I loved was the fact that here's a kid who has won how many games for you in the last minute. Mm-hmm. Finally, the other elements of the offense were picking him up.
Yeah,
you got the running game going. I mean, I think, and I know you're the stat guy, I think the last time they had rushed for twice as many yards they had passed was when they beat Ohio State in 11.
11 out there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's saying
something. And
that's when
they put the Wildcat in and so forth. Yeah.
Right. And obviously that was a very emotional time back then. But the fact that they were able to get that ground game going, and it goes back to your initial question. you know, when you have Donovan Smith and Miles Diefenbach, and I think the other thing people weren't realizing that when Diefenbach was out, and James Franklin hit on this throughout the season, without Miles, those guys kind of played next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you develop a comfort level. Yeah. And I think the other thing about that, Steve, and you know, I'm sure you know Miles Diefenbach very well, but to see him be able to come back, I mean, I can't imagine what that does for him.
Yeah.
But also for the rest of the team, because here's a guy who could have easily said, you know what, oh man, you know, I'm never gonna. He could have done one of two things. He could have said, you know what, my career's over, I'm just mailing it in. Or he could have said, you know, I think I have a chance to play in the NFL. I'm going to take this whole year off and just try to rehab. He didn't do that. He remained a key part of the team in a key leadership role, captain. You know, at every practice, at every game, you know, doing the best he can. And for him to come back,
it's been incredible, hasn't it? I mean, it's been absolutely incredible. For him to come back like that, incredible. Hey, Mark, thanks so much. Appreciate the time very, very much. I know Mark actually, you know, lives literally two streets up the hill from me. Literally. So for him to come down here to the Sunbury Motors studio, it wasn't a long trip. Mark, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, coming up next half hour, Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Then we'll have Mike Lang, the outstanding Hall of Fame play-by-play voice of the Penguins, which is going to change it up a bit. And in the final half hour, we're going to bring in Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated. They're not only talking about Penn State football recruiting, tomorrow's game with Illinois, but also to talk about Penn State wrestling, because actually Blue White Illustrated is going to send Nate Bauer out to Champaign, and Tim's going to be covering wrestling this weekend. And I know we have a lot of wrestling fans out there. So in the final half hour, we will talk extensively about wrestling as well as football. So we go from Mark Brennan in football to Josh Moyer and football. We're going to talk about the national picture as well, to the NHL with Mike Lang, and then back to Penn State football in recruiting, game, and then wrestling. It's a pretty well-rounded show today, a well-rounded show. We're looking forward to bringing the rest of it to you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget, coming up tonight, it is Seelands Grove in action, Somerset. That will take place at Richland High School in Johnstown tonight. You'll hear it on Eagle 107 with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt, and Kevin Herr working the sidelines tonight as we give you complete coverage of this big game this evening in the PIAA playoffs. That's tonight on Eagle 107. Eagle 107 tomorrow also has Bucknell football. If you go to the Bucknell football game tomorrow with Colgate, it's a big game for Bucknell. I mean, they still have national aspirations. They need this game coming up tomorrow. And with that in mind, go to the game tomorrow and save your ticket, because then you can use the same ticket that will open the door and get you into the basketball game with Mount St. Mary's tomorrow night. So it's a double at Christie, and then at Soika tomorrow, and both on Eagle 107. So what's happening here on News Radio 1070 WKOK? Basketball tonight, Nittany Lions take on Cornell at 9, airtime 8:30. And also tomorrow, it'll be Penn State football, the Nittany Lions at Illinois. Noon will be the kickoff from Memorial Stadium in Champaign, and we'll be on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show with Jack Ham, Joe Putnam, Roger Corey, and myself, beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanksgiving week is coming up. The weekend is coming up. Thus, how about a slice of advice? Go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You want to stock up for the weekend. You also want to make sure you're stocked up for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend as well. You want to make sure that if you go someplace, don't go empty-handed. All right? Brewers Outlet will take care of you. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, fresh and hot. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Vehicle exchange day for Kevin Herr. News at the bottom of the hour next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Of course, it is Friday, and that means Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Oh, and they roast the peanuts every day, nice and fresh and hot. Snacks, soft drinks, and of course the pickle bar, second to none. Love the barrel pickles. I'll be there next Friday, as a matter of fact. Penn State's going to be taking on Bucknell next Friday. I will be in town, and I will be stopping at Brewers Outlet. I need to stock up for the weekend myself with all the tailgates next weekend at Beaver Stadium. So why don't you do that right now? Go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and stock up for the weekend. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has done the vehicle exchange for the weekend. Don't forget Bucknell football tomorrow, Colgate at Christie. Then if you have a ticket for that game, save it for because that same ticket will get you in for free to see the basketball game with Mount St. Mary's tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Nittany Lion basketball tonight. Penn State will be in action against Cornell, 9 o'clock, 8:30, the airtime on the radio network with Lauren Crispell and Dick Girardi tonight. Last night, down 17, rallied, came back. John Johnson hit a three with 1.6 seconds to go, lost in double overtime. Thus, they're in this bracket. They lose the domino RPI. The best they can do right now is just go in, win the next two games, build a record, and go on from there. They're not going to get the schedule RPI out of it that you would have hoped for, because obviously you're not in the winner's bracket, which means you would have been facing a power conference team in South Carolina. Also tonight, Sealands Grove Somerset on Eagle 107 this evening. Eagle 107, Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt, and Kevin Herr on hand tonight at Richland High School in Johnstown as Sealands Grove takes on Somerset. And, of course, Eagle 107 tomorrow will have as well Bucknell football in the afternoon and Bucknell basketball at night. Doug Birdsong doing the double tomorrow. And Penn State football, I'm going to work my way to Champaign, Illinois, where the Nittany Lions will take on the Fighting Illini tomorrow at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. Illinois needs back-to-back wins over Penn State and Northwestern to be bowl eligible. And as for the Nittany Lions, looking for their third straight win and their seventh on the season. It's a noon kickoff tomorrow on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show from Memorial Stadium in Champaign, beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning. You'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Josh Moyers with ESPN.com. We've had Josh on many times before. It's always a pleasure. Josh, been a lot of talk that the top two defenses in the Big Ten have been Wisconsin and Penn State. When you you break it down, what do you see?
Wisconsin's defense. You know, Wisconsin's defense is putting up, you know, some better stats than Penn State's defense. But, you know, prior to last Saturday's game, Penn State's opponent started 10 yards closer on average to the end zone than Wisconsin's opponent. So you need to win that field position battle if you're going to give this defense a chance. Or, you know, you can only bend without breaking so much. And Penn State's defense has done a great job with that. But this offense obviously needs shorter field to deal with. It can't continuously have 70, 80-yard touchdown drives. It needs those 40 to 60-yard sweet spots where it's able to maybe get Cam Fickens a little bit closer since he's been so on. So if you don't win the field position, you're not winning the game. And you know, if there's two important aspects to a game when Penn State's been playing lately, one is defense, and two, it's end up being, you know, a special team. It's end up being the field position game, punting. And, you know, even though they've tried a new punter now, I mean, he's only averaging 37 yards a punt. I mean, it hasn't been pretty. Penn State's defense has not gotten a lot of, has not been able to relax because of this offense or this special teams or this defense, if you want to call it that.
When you look at what they have coming up at Illinois and you examine the Illinois situation and Tim Beckman's situation, what runs through your mind as you see this?
Well, one, I don't think there's any way Tim Beckman is back next. And I think a lot of people have kind of been drawn to the same conclusion. I mean, honestly, he's been kind of a joke, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at some of the things he said. I mean, just this past week, he commented on, you know, how tough Illinois' schedule has been this season. Well, if you take a look at it, it's ranked 96 in terms of strength of schedule. And he's been saying stuff like this every week. You know, you lose to Ohio State by 6 touchdowns, and he says they're just a few plays away from winning that game. That being said, you know, Illinois still has a very good offense. Wes Lunt missed 4 games, but he's among the best passers in the Big Ten. You know, very underrated in that regard. And, you know, this is kind of like the Indiana of last season in that, you know, great passing offense, some very talented receivers. But, I mean, this defense is the worst defense that Penn State will face all season. Now, whether that's going to make a difference with this Penn State offense, you know, we'll have to see.
You see Akil Lynch. Obviously, Bill Belton's been a given. People have looked at him, you know, over the course of his career. When you look at Akil Lynch, what has he brought to the table, in your opinion, Josh, that impresses you?
I mean, I think it's his speed hitting the holes. I mean, he's leading the team right now in yards per carry. And it's funny because, you know, ever since you saw him, you know, get a few carries and, you know, week one, week two, I mean, everybody's been clamoring to see more of this guy. And I think the main reason we haven't is just because he's not as well-rounded as maybe a Bill Belton is. He obviously needs to work a little bit more on his blocking. You know, he needs to work a little bit more on his receiving. He only has, you know, 3 catches this year. Obviously, you know, Belton, I think, has, you know, maybe 20 or, you know, 21 or so. You know, so he's not as much part of the passing game. But obviously, I mean, he's got great speed hitting the hole and changed direction very well. And, you know, we saw Belton with the 91-yard rushing touchdown, but I don't think you would surprise anyone if Akil Lynch was able to pull off something similar. His speed really helps give this offense, this offense is able to pose a threat, you know, because of Akil Lynch. So I think it shows that next year is bright. With Belton, is when it graduates, you know, Akil Lynch is going to be that guy, and I think he's going to be just fine.
You've also had to put out stories on a variety of other things besides football. You know, writing about football, writing about players, you know, that's right in your wheelhouse, Josh. What about having to write on some of the other issues that obviously if you're going to cover Penn State, eventually somewhere down the road you have to write about? How tough has that been to navigate?
Yeah, well, you know, it's definitely been different. You know, I mean, you really don't have a boring day here in Happy Valley. I was at the Board of Trustees meeting last Friday, and it's supposed to end at 4:30, and it goes for 5 hours. It ends at 6:30. So, I mean, that's definitely interesting. But you have so many passionate people. You know, we listened to 10 people, 10 members of the public, I think it was, you know, give speeches after that meeting. And I don't know if I've ever been to a trustees meeting before where they have a metal detector you have to go through, and they have, you know, applause and 100 or so people. And I mean, it's just, everything is just intensified here. So, I mean, yeah, it's been, you know, kind of tricky to, you know, write about the football team one day and then, you know, kind of go into a new, you know, legal standpoint another. But, I mean, hey, as a journalist, I mean, you know, that's fun. You get to do all sorts of different stuff here. And like I said, never a boring day, that's for sure, Steve.
Had you ever been to a Board of Trustees meeting before? I can tell you straight out, I've never been to one.
Well, I've been to three or four now. But, I mean, prior to covering Penn State, you know, I graduated from here. You know, I worked here in another capacity a little bit. No, before 2013, I had never been to a Board of Trustees meeting. And before 2011, I didn't think I would ever go to a Board of Trustees meeting. But, you know, funny how things change.
Right. Did you ask anybody for advice as to how to approach it, or is this something you've just done on your own?
It's something I've just done on my own. I mean, I covered city politics in the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, this isn't something that was, you know, totally out of my wheelhouse. I've covered sports and news. So, you know, this is just, you know, one more thing that you're able to do on the beat. So no, it wasn't really difficult at all. I mean, it's pretty clear what the priorities are when you start to hear people talk, you know, during the Board of Trustees meeting. It's not difficult to pick up on that. It's not very nuanced, if you will.
All right, now back to the football part. Let's go back to the fun part instead of how you cover things that are a little bit different. When you look at the Ohio State situation, Josh, they're sixth right now, and there's still games to be played. So they're at least in the neighborhood. How do you view this as to where their position is versus the five teams in front of them? And not really the five teams in front of them, the two teams in front of them, TCU and Mississippi State.
Yeah, well, we can't even agree as Big Ten bloggers whether or not Ohio State has a good chance to basically you know, make the playoff. Quite frankly, I'm of the opinion that they don't. Because right now, if you look at it, you know, the final week is really what's going to help determine this, because Auburn plays Alabama and Ole Miss plays Mississippi State. So Ohio State needs one of those two teams to falter, so it's able to leapfrog one of them. But even if that happens, they still need one more thing to happen. Florida State and TCU both have a really easy path to winning out, and I know I'm kind of putting out a lot of scenarios there, but basically...
And a lot of scenarios indeed. I mean, there's no question there are a lot of scenarios in all of this. But if, for example, you look at Mississippi and Mississippi State, Ole Miss and Mississippi State playing next week. What's interesting about that is that they could end up, for example, as they play one another, Ole Miss wins it, knocks Mississippi State out. Auburn beats Alabama, could knock Alabama out, could. Which means the door might be open to having a playoff without an SEC team. That's the part that's really wild about this, is that you might not have an SEC team in this. And, you know, that's the part that's really, really strange, because there's been so much coverage of the SEC, as we both know.
And their toughest test is going to come in the Pac-12 championship game. So, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, there could be upsets with Florida State and TCU. But as it stands right now, I don't feel that confident that Ohio State will be able to garner a playoff berth, because other teams right now have a much easier path to get there than they do.
It's not a level playing field in that the Pac-12, for example, plays 9 conference games. The Big 12 plays 9, but the Big 12 doesn't have a championship game. Do they need to level the playing field as time goes in this playoff scenario, or should they leave that part the same and let conferences just do what they want?
Well, I think it leaves the Big 12 at a huge disadvantage, but unless I'm mistaken, I think you need 12 teams in order to have a championship game.
You do, but guess what? With one vote, you can change the rule.
That's true, too, but I mean, I just feel that puts them at a huge disadvantage. I mean, we've heard the playoff committee say that they're going to weigh conference championships. You know, that's going to be a big part of what they do. And they're not just talking about who the regular season winner is. They're talking about that title game. The Big 12 doesn't have it. And if there's one interesting storyline to all this that's kind of been buried a little bit, it's if Ohio State ends up going to the Big Ten title game and creaming, you know, Wisconsin or Minnesota or whoever may make it. Iowa's technically still in it. If they end up creaming them, TCU doesn't play anyone. Will they leapfrog TCU on a bye? Because we've seen plenty of teams. Nebraska had a bye. I think they dropped 4 spots 2 weeks ago. I mean, that definitely puts the Big 12 at a disadvantage. And if I'm the Big 12 commissioner, I try to change that if I can immediately starting next year. Because if Ohio State goes over TCU during that championship week, I mean, I think that's going to make a lot of fans unhappy, at least on the West Coast and certainly in Texas.
Has it become more interesting because of the 4-team playoff to cover?
I think so. I mean, this season as a whole is interesting because right now, Florida State is the only undefeated team, and we see, I don't know what computers think of Florida State, but certainly people still don't think very highly of them if they're not even ranked in the top 2. So I think this just opens everything up to more debate. I mean, I think if anything, if you're a fan, that's to make things a little bit more exciting because, hey, Michigan State losing, you know, early in the season to Oregon, you know, they're still not out of it. All of a sudden, that Ohio State game is almost like the Super Bowl. If this were past years, you lose to Oregon, I mean, you basically think, hey, I mean, that's it. Your season's over. You can maybe play for a Rose Bowl, but the championship is out of reach. So I like now how every week is still emphasized in college football, but even if you lose early, you're not totally out of it. I mean, if you would have told anyone after a week 2 loss that, hey, the Buckeyes just had a bad loss to Virginia Tech, but they'll be in the, serious playoff contenders, you know, in 10 weeks, I think people would say you're crazy. So I think that's added a lot of excitement. And, I hope they end up expanding to 8 in the future.
Always enjoyable, always informative. I always enjoy our chats, Josh. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us.
Hey, thanks again, Steve. Always appreciate it.
It's Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Great to have him on board, as always, to talk about some of the issues of Penn State, college football, and so forth. And the college football playoff, I think, has dramatically increased interest in the sport across the country, which already had great interest to begin with. But I think now there's more national interest in what's going on, not just regional interest. You can see it in the TV ratings. Florida State and Miami received a 6.5 rating on Saturday night. Saturday night is the graveyard night in television. If you have a show, for example, a weekly series, and they revamp the lineup and they put you on Saturday night, you better get your resume ready because your show is not going to last much longer on the network. Well, now you get Florida State playing Miami, 6.5 rating. The rating for Mississippi State, Alabama, and CBS in the afternoon was really strong as well. And ESPN is seeing a rating spike on their Saturday night games as well. That's what's happened with this college football playoff, which is what I thought it would happen. I've always thought this, that if you put out a playoff, increase that number, where games with stakes, you know, that's what people love. People love games with stakes where they perceive that a game is big. I think the television ratings, even though it's Thanksgiving weekend next weekend, are going to be huge. Alabama's going to play Auburn. Ole Miss is going to play in Mississippi State. I mean, there's never been that much interest in the Egg Bowl before. You got Oregon playing Oregon State. Right? So they've got that one coming up. Now, TCU still has 2 weeks to go in the season. Ohio State plays Michigan. That's always considered a big game. Ohio State should beat Michigan by probably 3 to 4 touchdowns, to be frank with you. But still, they need that game to keep going. To keep themselves in the mix. Now, tomorrow's big game is UCLA-USC, but that has no bearing on the national playoff at all. So when it comes to that part, the interest level won't be as high when you have that part. Just won't be because this weekend is a weekend of transition. The SEC, for the most part, has their schools playing non-conference games. Alabama's playing Western Carolina coming up tomorrow. That is what the SEC does. The SEC may only play 8 conference games, but they stagger the schedule in such a way where they get you an opening weekend in September.
And then they'll play another non-conference game. Then they'll get you another conference game. Then they'll play a series of them in a row until you get to this weekend. Then they fall off the map for a weekend because next weekend is so big. It's brilliant the way the SEC schedules. And James Franklin on the Penn State football show a week ago, we talked about this, about the scheduling component, because Penn State, the way it worked out, the original schedule had three bye weeks in it. So Bill O'Brien filled this past weekend with Temple as a non-conference game because the conference schedule, and that's because the Rutgers game was, of course, the third game of the year. That was a non-conference game to begin with. That's why you had the anomaly at the end here. But James Franklin likes the idea of playing a non-conference game in November. And he said that straight out. Now, whether they can work that out or not, I'm not sure, because when I've looked at Big Ten schedules, starting next year, there's one bye week and not two. And, of course, in 2016, they go to 9-game conference schedules. And I checked that one out, and there's also just one bye week instead of two. So that's what idealistically he would like to do. Whether realistically he can, based on how the schedule is structured through the conference, we'll have to find out. All right, our thanks to Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Coming up, Mike Lang, the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Final half hour of the show, Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated. We'll talk recruiting, tomorrow's game with Illinois, and also Tim's going to be covering wrestling this weekend. We will talk with Tim about wrestling as well in the final half hour. Thanks to Mark Brennan from Fight On State for joining us in the opening half hour of the show today. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews. Did I mention they have lots of beer? Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. It's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Top of the hour, CBS News, local news, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.